Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. As of January 20th, 1,575 people were charged in connection with the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The FBI has estimated that around 2,000 people took part in what they define as criminal acts at the event. Upon Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20th, he pardoned all but 14 of about 1,270 convicted individuals. One of those convicted on charges related to January 6th is Mark Andrew Mazza, 57, of Shelbyville, Indiana. Mark was sentenced to 60 months in prison for carrying two loaded guns on Capitol grounds, and this was a conviction, mind you. This is not necessarily what he did, but what he was accused of, and assaulting law enforcement officers during the breach of the U.S. Capitol. What is interesting, though, is even in the court proceedings, the state admitted that he didn't actually assault law enforcement officers. So even in the proceedings, it's very interesting. And as you read this story, I don't know how you convict somebody of something that even the state will admit that he didn't do. But we'll ask Mark about that. Mark, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, it's my pleasure. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. I appreciate both. You need to call more right. often. So,
yes, sir.
Let me start with this. Tell us. We'll address the case, but let me just tell us about what happened on that day. Tell us. You've described it as being caught up in the mob. Tell us about the whole story. Tell us about your tale of January 6th. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I was there with a friend of mine, and we went to the rally, and people were running towards the rally saying, "We've breached the Capitol, and everybody needs to go to the Capitol." Well, we were going to go to the Stop the Steal rally originally anyway. And so we could have walked straight down Constitution Avenue and gotten there in 15 minutes. But we decided to take the long way because all the roads were blocked. So we took selfies and we went around taking pictures of stuff. Took us an hour to get there. So we were really in a rush to take over that Capitol. And so when we finally arrived, there were no barricades. We walked up the steps. The crowd of maybe 20,000 people was singing God Bless America. It was a beautiful sight. It was completely peaceful. There was absolutely nothing going on that we could tell. And so we actually went up on top of the where the inauguration stage was. And we were looking down on the crowd and taking pictures and just, you know, enjoying the time, even though it was freezing cold. But we, after about 15 minutes up there, I looked to my left and there was 30 to 40 stormtroopers coming at us. I don't know if they were FBI or if they were DC police, who they were, but they were shoving everybody off of that where we were at. And so we just went ahead and just got out of their way and got down, went back down to the platform. Well, by the time we got to the platform, when they started shooting the flash grenades, and then they started bombarding everybody with tear gas and C2 gas, mace. I mean, it was raining down on everyone. And so we kind of took shelter under the huge American flag that was there, and to keep from all the tear gas and everything raining down on us. Well, they continued shooting flash grenades into the crowd. By then, there were CIs, which were FBI people, in the crowd that stoked it all up to begin with. Ray Epps was the main one, which the FBI denied ever knowing him, even though the next day his picture was still on the FBI's website. But they denied him, and of course, by the next day, it was already down. So we noticed, I mean, it was getting, starting, people were panicking because police were starting to attack. And when I say attack, they were coming at them with their batons and basically fire extinguisher size bear spray. And this stuff will shoot 30 to 40 feet in a real steady stream. And they were shooting people, including myself, point blank almost. I mean, 3-4 feet away. And it was just incredible of what we were seeing. And I saw a guy, actually, I had it on my camera, on my phone, but they've confiscated that, so I'm sure it's no longer there. An Antifa, and we know he's Antifa because he went in the full gear, helmet and the vest and all that stuff, and he had weapons. They weren't guns, but they were sticks, and most of them carried 2x4s. And he was busting out the window to the left of the tunnel on the west side of the building. And Patriots kept pulling them down, telling, you know, we're not here for this. Well, he eventually busted that window from the outside. It's bulletproof glass, two-piece glass. He busted it, and I'm videoing this. And on the inside were 3 D.C. cops in full riot gear pulling the glass from the inside, breaking the inside out so they could climb in. Now, after they got the glass out, the guy climbed in, and the cops start handing furniture out, which I thought was incredible. Why are they handing out furniture? But they wanted to make it look like destruction and that we were stealing. We went there for, you know, all this violence. Huh. So I worked my way into the tunnel. The tunnel was where the melee was. And I got in there, and it was crowded. I worked my way to the front at one point, and I'm on video doing this by body cam, and their body cam, and I faced a wall of 8 to 10 officers, all in riot gear with shields and everything else. And I stopped all the melee, and I said, listen, you know, I used some explicit language, but I said, this is the people's house. We have every right by the Constitution to come in here and observe these proceedings from the upper chamber area where the visitors sit. I said, we're allowed to do that to make sure that there is no fraud committed here, and that it's a just hearing, because the election was stolen. Well, as you know, there were congressmen on the floor filing for an appeal on the certification.
Yes, there were.
Well, they were shut down immediately.
You brought up that the not assaulting, because that's an interesting part of it, because, you know, when I was reading about your particular case, that was one of the things that stood out to me, because, for example, federal possession of firearms or carrying, the mandatory minimum sentence is 5 years. You got 7.5 in your is what the judge laid down on you. And yet you were, the government in the case, in the actual filings, the government said, quote, you did not assault the officers, and video appears to show him, referring to you, trying to protect both officers from other rioters who were assaulting them. So their own filing, they're admitting that you did not assault the police and you were trying to protect the police. What was then their justification, or what was the judge's justification for such a heavy sentence when the minimum was 5 and you got 7.5? Did they ever explain that sentence?
He actually gave me 60 months, 5 years is what he actually sentenced me to. He gave me 60 months for assaulting the officer, which I have the paperwork and the picture of the guy. The officer took a 9-photo lineup and identified a man that was 37 years old with black hair and a black beard. I was 57 at the time. I'm 60 now. I have a snow white beard and gray hair, and I was wearing a hat. The file also, the police officer they said I assaulted, he said under oath, Mark Mazza did not assault me. Now, my lawyer, who was pretty much appointed to me, he called me, said he wanted to represent me. He was a Trump supporter, which he wasn't any of that. He was getting paid by the D.C. court system. We got into court. He never objected to anything. We had this discovery that the prosecutor found a week before my plea deal. They swept it under the rug. The guns, he wanted to try to get me 10 years. The judge gave me 5. But before he sentenced me, before he hit that gavel, in my allocution, I said, I am not an insurrectionist. I am a patriot of the United States sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States whenever I swore in the United States Army. And he said, by every definition of the word, you, sir, are an insurrectionist.
Mark, let me reintroduce here real quick. We're talking with Mark Mazza, who was convicted as part of the January 6th events at the Capitol. You know, the Democrats and the media and the left have tried very hard to say that Donald Trump incited the crowd. He caused the riot, effectively instigating it. You served time for this. You went to prison for this. You were ultimately pardoned. Do you blame Donald Trump? Do you believe that he was the instigator? Do you think that Donald Trump is the reason that the folks who engaged in the activities of January 6th did what they did? Was Trump the reason, or was it just... were they inspired because they were frustrated and mad about the election?
It was absolutely not Donald Trump's fault. He said peacefully go and protest.
That's what I saw.
That's what he was doing.
That's what I saw.
And that's what was happening when I got there. It was us getting attacked by FBI. They had over 200 undercover CIs in the crowd to stoke people up. So Nancy Pelosi did this. She set this whole thing up with her Gestapo, with the D.C. police, and the fake news has run with it and now is starting to expose everything that they've been denying, calling us. They're projecting. They're the insurrectionists. They've committed treason. We went there literally to protest a rigged election. Everybody who watched the election in that November saw at 2 o'clock in the morning the count go from President Trump sweeping that race to Joe Biden, and it took a straight up turn, taking all the votes from Trump, and all of a sudden he's got 79 million votes.
Yeah,
we've never had, if you take that and add it with the votes Trump got, it's like 158 million votes.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had 158 million people vote.
Well, look at the results of the last election. There's 10 million fewer votes for Kamala than Joe had. Where'd those 10 million people go? How has this whole experience affected you and your family, Mark? I mean, have you finally been able to have some grace, the opportunity to move on from all of this? Or how has this affected you now that you're out, now that you've been pardoned and you're back? I mean, are you at least able to move on from it?
No, not really. My family has abandoned me. Everybody. I have one brother that supported me, and he put me up for 2 weeks. I am on the road. I'm homeless. I have a truck and one suitcase of clothes. My money was embezzled from me out of my bank account. Luckily, the bank reinstated, I'm not going to say how much, but a small portion of what was taken. So I'm fortunate because I have some money in the bank and a truck. But getting a license, luckily, when I got released on that pardon on January 20th, I got the release paper. Well, 9 of us got released from Milan, Michigan at the same time. Half of those guys did not get that piece of paper. and a lot of other J6ers have not received that piece of paper. You cannot get a driver's license, a cell phone, insurance, anything without that piece of paper, because a pardon just says you've been pardoned. You don't have anything that says you've been released from prison. And they have to have that. And so there are guys out there right now, like I'm unemployed. I'm actually retired, and I'm not looking for work, but I'm on the road constantly because supporters are putting me up, patriots. And the fact is our lives are ruined. I use the example. Do you know who Benedict Arnold is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Mark Mazza is now Benedict Arnold to the United States public. And my family's name is ruined. My kids' name is ruined. My kids were in high school. They had to face teachers, principal, friends, parents that saw every day for 2 weeks on the local news my picture and saying, I am a treasonous insurrectionist.
And, you know, the
you
whole
can't
thing.
Come back from that.
The whole thing that frustrates me in this whole thing, and whether or not, you know, I've got a listener out there who thinks that you're an insurrectionist. Or a listener who thinks you're a patriot. One of the things that frustrates me in this whole discussion is we have people who burned and looted cities in the summer of 2020, who burned cop cars. There are hundreds of police officers who were assaulted. There are people who died. There's millions of dollars in damage, and no one has been held accountable for any of that. And the double standard in these two situations, regardless of what you think about January 6th, the blatant double standard is one of the things that has frustrated me so. And, you know, at this point, okay, January 6th happened, it's over, it's done with. We should be a nation that forgives. I mean, if we can forgive Bill Clinton having whatever he had in the Oval Office, we should be able to do the same for people who you shouldn't be judged by your worst moments. Regardless of what happened to January 6th, it's one day, and you're being judged for your worst day. That's the tragedy in this whole thing. And there are people, like I said, back in the riots of summer of 2020, who've never been judged. And that's right. The sad part here. Mark, I'm up on my break, but I want to wish you grace. I hope that you do have the opportunity to find some peace and can reconnect with your family at some point. And I do appreciate you coming on, my friend. And, I'd give you, if there's a way for folks to connect with you, if you want to share that, if not, I just hope that folks will pray for you.
I appreciate that.
Brother, I appreciate you and I wish you all the best, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then I'd like to hear what you think. Was January 6th an insurrection or a peaceful protest? Should folks like Mark have received their full pardons? What does it say you? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I tell you, that was a fascinating conversation, wasn't it, Phil?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. And you know, it's interesting, and I know we've got calls I want to get to them, but no matter how you view that, I do hate the double standard, the way that whole situation is. And the left, of course, one's a peaceful protest, one's an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
and the previous administration, when they were in control, then that was the narrative that we were hearing.
Insurrection. And no mention of, you know, the riot and the people who died on January 6th. Well, actually, nobody. Well, only one person actually died, and it was a protester.
Yes.
You know, nobody actually. No officers died. Now, there were a few that were complications. A guy had a heart attack. A few suicides. Those are not related to, that was suicide. You chose to take your life for whatever tragic reason. It just, again, as opposed to cops that were actually killed during the riots in Philadelphia, in Seattle, in the occupations of Portland, all that nonsense. But, you know, that's facts. And, you know, the left doesn't like facts. So what can I say? Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around. It's always, always a pleasure to have. Pat's a regular listener, so it's always nice we have Pat on.
Country, I'm grateful for the protester and Congressman Higgins, Clay Higgins, a former policeman.
Oh, yeah.
Stepped out in front of the vans. He said, let me show you the two vans that showed up. And he said, I was deeply concerned that some of my fellow policemen were part of the instigators out there, that I have it on very good report that there were FBI instigators in the crowd bringing in the protest, and then they faded back. And that's called entrapment to the hilt. And interesting enough,
he's a congressman from Louisiana, isn't he, Pat?
Yes, sir.
That's
former
what I
policeman
thought.
Too. And he said it deeply concerned me that some of my fellow policemen were there dressed up as Trump supporters and they were instigators. But also you have to know who that FBI person was that was leading in there. And he had just run the Governor Whitmer case where
Whitmer, by the way. Different Whitmer. No relation.
The governor of Michigan. And the entrapment of just three simple marijuana smokers. 15 FBI were in the basement, and that's the same FBI person that ran the January 6th.
Yep.
And I'm grateful for this guest that you had on. Grateful. Country to you.
Pat, I appreciate you, brother, as always. We'll take a quick break and pay a few bills, and then a dear friend, guy we love having on the show, literally the best media analyst out there, my buddy Curtis Houck, from Newsbusters will be with us to break down the State of the Union and the media's mind-blowing, hair-on-fire response. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. By the way, Phil, don't let me forget. I know he can hear me. But don't let me forget to tell Curtis that he needs to, like, boost me. He's got, like, 100,000 followers on X. And I'm still struggling at 7,000. I need him to boost me and get me some followers. The guy's a freaking mega, you know, celebrity on X. And I'm this little piddling guy that I've known him for almost going on 8 years, something like that. And he's never done me a solid on social media.
Okay.
He needs to boost me. Okay?
Curtis, are you hearing this?
He's hearing it. Trust me. I'm keeping him muted so that he doesn't give me, you know, garbage on the air. But I'm going to start hitting him up and make him earn these, you know, make him actually earn it. Studio lines are open 316-869-1330. So, yeah, he's going to give me such a hard time for that. At the recent State of the Union address, why am I doing this? Because you know the minute we turn his mic on, he's just going to just hit me. At the recent State of the Union address, viewers saw for themselves the true face of the modern Democrat Party. Can I just make this intro go on really long? As they turn their back on a grieving mother, on a kid with cancer. I mean, we know. We saw it. They were trash. So the mainstream media, of course, showed their true colors as well. MSNBC host Nicole Wallace said she hoped the 13-year-old cancer patient DJ Daniel didn't quote, kill himself from having to deal with Trump supporters. That was MSNBC. With us now to once again expose the bias that is rampant within the lamestream media and, of course, give me a hard time is Curtis Houck with Newsbusters. Brother, okay, give it to me.
Well, I was just sitting here and I found three things to retweet of yours while I'm sitting here. You gave me such time to draw it out. You actually did me a solid to try and like find a few things to repost there.
I love you. Thank you. I mean, I've been meaning to hit him up and say, hey, I'm trying to get to 10,000 so I can be at least like a tenth as good as you are on social media. So
I haven't even tweeted about cracking the 100,000 mark. I mean, you're the first person to even say anything about that because I'm just like, I don't really care. I don't really normally like talking about myself very much. So I kind of, you just like let it go.
You're a rock star. I can say I knew him when. So, you know.
And I don't buy followers like a lot of people do. And I don't like charge people money for retweets or anything stupid like that. Cause sorry, folks, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks out there on the left and right that do this. But no, the State of the Union, man. But I mean, yeah, what was the State of the Union? I mean, it's so confusing for the first year of a president. Like,
yeah.
You have to say it's a joint address to the Congress. Like, it's so stupid. But no, I mean, Nicole Wallace, the key in there, like, if you haven't seen it yet, folks, unless you were like in a coma the last week, like, that clip. The best part, the thing that is really undermentioned here, undercooked, is the reaction, like, right before she kind of hits the main climax, it goes to, like, Michael Steele and Jen Psaki, and they're just kind of like, Michael Steele's looking down, kind of like, and Jen Psaki kind of has that Karen look on her face, like, where are you going with this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think like, they were honestly shocked that she said that. When she said DJ Daniel doesn't kill himself from, I mean, and yet they get away with this nonsense. And yeah. I'm shocked. I mean, they at least MSNBC finally fired Joy Reid, but I'm shocked they continue to let these people get away with this nonsense.
Well, and the thing is, Sean, this is a very cynical play that they did to get rid of Joy Reid. The reason that they finally were able to jettison Joy Reid is because MSNBC is looking at being a Comcast-less institution. This network doesn't have, you know, the cable and internet monopoly to, like, hold itself up, you know. Nobody's buying cable, but, yes, people are still buying internet and phone and all that stuff from Xfinity in, you know, corner after corner of the country. So they don't have that to hold themselves up. And it's a bunch of dying cable channels. You know, what's funny is in that deal, NBC kept Bravo because of all the below deck, like train wreck TV shows and the Real Housewives, because I guess that makes them money.
Hey, but all the other ones, careful there. My wife and I watch that below deck stuff. That's actually amusing television.
It makes money. Yeah. And Comcast is holding on to that channel because it makes money, but they're selling off all the other ones, including CNBC. And so there was a calculus made that like, man, do like, you know, we're going to have to like, get advertisers on our own now and like trying to pitch to Joy Reid. But now they're stuck with, you know, Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow. And Maddow's been doing 5 days a week because of the first 100 days. But once that ends, she's going to go back to one day a week. And as a reminder, late last year, she signed a new contract for $25 million a year to work one day. What's funny is they laid off a couple hundred people behind the camera. And Maddow was also mad about that, too, that she went public with, along with Joy Reid firing. Someone pointed out that Dylan Byers at Buck did the math and figured out that about 100 staffers or whatever that were laid off behind the camera equate to about $25 million. Which is kind of funny. Oh, my gosh. Someone look at that. But Nicole Wallace represents everything that is wrong with the left.
Well, and, you know, and it's
intolerable white woman.
It's just as bad over at CNN. I mean, I was shocked. Well, I actually wasn't shocked when Caitlin Collins was named CNN's White House correspondent. I'm only waiting for the day that Trump bars her from the building because she's toxic. She barely contains her hatred of him. Yeah, I think it's only going to be a matter of time before she pisses him off and he just kicks her out.
Here's the problem with Caitlin Collins. I have a huge level of disrespect. Like, I do not respect her in some ways because she, like Oliver Darcy, and there's a few people like them out there in the news media that worked in conservative media. They cut their teeth in conservative media. People gave them a chance to make in Washington. And what have they done? They've turned around and not just bitten off the hand that feed them, they cut it off completely.
Right.
They bit it off like they were Mike Tyson biting, you know, an ear off.
Evander Holyfield's ear, yes.
They're just taking their ear off. Like, they're so ungrateful. You know, Caitlin Collins was a nobody writing, you know, I love our friends over at The Caller, but she was writing side boob slideshows, and now she's, like, making $3 million a year, you know, trying to, like, replicate Breonna Keeler's, like, RBF face, like, you know, when Republicans say stuff. It's just so pathetic. I mean, she was there during the first Trump administration, but, like, it's ridiculous to suggest that somebody like her is worth $3 million a year. And these cable news salaries are just ridiculous. And yet, you know, what was the liberal media mad about last week, John, with salaries? Scott Jennings.
Right.
Oliver Darcy was mad that Scott Jennings was getting a boost, even though my video tweets and other people who are video clippers, when we tweet out Scott Jennings, they get more views than actual Nielsen viewers of CNN. So, like,
yes,
they should be thanking Scott Jennings for keeping a lot of them afloat.
Oh, I love your stuff on Scott Jennings, by the way, because because he says he's actually one of the few sane voices on that network, and he actually says things that make sense. But yeah, that's half the stuff that when you tweet it out, I'm like, oh, yes, thank you, Curtis, because I don't watch CNN. It's the only time I actually hear things that make sense from that network.
Right, because otherwise, like, why would people tune in? And he tweets his appearances out beforehand, like saying which shows he's going to be on. So there's probably some people that tune in to CNN just to watch Scott go 4-on-1, 5-on-1 against a bunch of intolerable libs. And he calmly demolishes them, and he doesn't give an inch. He's not like Alyssa Farah Griffin, you know?
No, he, like, does stand his own, I love.
He holds his own, which is just so refreshing, and it's terrific, and he's, like, he's not just owning the libs, he's educating. That's what when I talk to Scott, I always tell him, you're educating people.
Yeah. Yes, we're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, I want to ask you about the how do we want to phrase this? The dress down of President Zelensky in the Oval Office, and whether or not he, you're a news guy, whether or not he called Vice President Vance a bitch. I mean, sure, if you listen to the clip, it sure sounds like he did. But overall, you've been covering news for a long time. I think, I've been in the legislature. I've been in some of these high level meetings with governors. A lot of people don't understand that when executive level meetings happen, that's the way it looks like. The sausage making, that's what it looks like. The difference is you just got a glimpse into what it looks like behind the scenes, probably all the time. This was just the first time it was done in front of a camera.
Correct. And I mean, there's a story out from the New York Times this past weekend talking about Sean Duffy and Marco Rubio confronting Musk, and it sounded very contentious. And it sounds pretty legitimate to me, because you're right. That's how a lot of these private meetings are. And folks, you just think, you know, in your jobs, you know, if you work in any office setting and you have contentious meetings, don't think it's just you. You know, that this doesn't go to elected politics. It does. Those kind of knock down, drag them out kind of moments, it just happened to be in front of the, you know, in front of the world. Whereas, you know, I'm totally with Mark Thiessen. I mean, Mark Thiessen is like one of those, like, old school Bushy Republicans, you know, pro-interventionist types who has literally the Ukraine flag in his username on X. And he was like, dude, guys, Zelensky blew it, man. I think that is so true. It's just really unfortunate that we put ourselves in this situation. But this is what happens when you get a guy who's ground down by years of war, who is not super instinctual. I mean, Donald Trump, while he and Zelensky are alike in that they both weren't politicians when they were elected, and that was part of their appeal, Trump has the instincts a little bit there to kind of figure out when to hold his punches at times and how to speak diplomatically. Because if you watch the first 40 minutes, he's very, like, Trump is very appreciative, lavishing praise on Zelensky, trying to kind of move this thing along, but Zelensky keeps undercutting him, and it just sounds so bizarre. So I think the rest of the media was just stunned in one of those moments. I mean, yes, there was outrage and all the Moscow and Putin, all those things. But I feel like it took a few minutes for people to gather themselves because they hadn't seen anything like that in real time. It's only the kind of thing that somebody picks up the phone and tells Maggie Haberman about a few hours later, except we actually saw it in real time. I mean, it's just so inconsequential moment that we're going to remember for a long time. Even if this war ends very favorably for Ukraine,
right,
we're going to look back on it and say, wow, man, like, they're going to teach this to, like, future politicians in countries around the world. Like, do not do that.
I completely agree. No, I think you're absolutely right. Curtis, as always, brother, I absolutely love having you on. We need to have you on more often. You're the managing editor at Newsbusters. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with Newsbusters, yeah, it's newsbusters.org. And on X, you are at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K, correct?
Yes. Follow John R. Whitmer. And lastly, defundpbsnpr.org. Sign the petition. Follow us on X, defundpbsnpr, because we're actually going to do it this time.
Yeah, you know, that's another good one. I mean, I know everybody's going to say, oh, my God, you're going to put Ernie and Bert out of business. But look, they can find underwriting and get their shows sponsored like everybody else does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. Brother, I appreciate you. Good to talk to you as always, my friend. We'll have you on again soon.
Always talk again soon, my friend. Carry on.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. I love Curtis. He is just a rock star. My wife loves him. So much fun, and 100,000 followers. You know, someday I'll get there. I'll get there, just like Curtis. We'll see. We hope, you know. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Had a great rally here on Saturday with Congressman Ron Estes. Despite the wackadoodles and their signs, they've got a mission to empower every American to achieve their unique version of the American dream. If you want to help, you want to get involved, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And as Curtis said, follow me on Twitter, at John R. Whitmer. And don't forget, this was a question actually came up. Andy Hoosier and I spoke at Pachyderm on Friday. They asked about helping to keep AM radio in cars. If you want to help keep AM radio in cars, text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. So don't forget, coming up here in 2 weeks, we'll be back in Topeka broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. So we've got lots of good stuff coming. I know we've got a call. I want to get to my caller, but before I do, don't forget to check the John Whitmer Show Facebook page about the Satanist group that's holding a rally at the Capitol in Topeka on March 28th. There's a way to sign the petition. A group of Catholic students that have got a petition to call on the governor to cancel the Black Mass. They got 22,000 signatures. Go on to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, sign the petition, and call the governor's office. Tell him you don't want a Satanist Black Mass at your state capitol. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for waiting.
Good evening, John.
How are you, brother?
I think I'm wonderful, wonderful. I wasn't expecting that in that part of the deal, but let me tell you, one thing that eliminates shadow and darkness is light. And so whether it's your previous guest that you had, the January 6th guy, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, or Roger Marshall, who was attacked basically with hostile people,
yeah,
or this trying to get the Black Mass thing going on. Well, we need to pray against all these things and pray for the people to come to know Jesus, as it were, and get a better outlook and a better worldview on life, because it seems like Democrats anymore, but just progressive people are running out of ammunition to use, and they're just being hostile and basically insane. And so need to, I guess, pray for all of them involved, as it were. But
yeah, you're right. And this isn't I'm glad you said Democrat, because it's not a political thing. This isn't a party thing. It, you know, this kind of stuff, Satanist. I mean, seriously, that's not a, that's just pure evil. And we're not talking about your political ideology. You can disagree. I mean, heck, look at you and I. We disagree on a couple of ideological issues, marijuana legalization. But it, neither of us are going to want Satan to have his will manifest. And you see what I mean? It's just a, it's such a fundamental difference. And it goes back to what I said in the monologue, where you've got just, I mean, look, we could disagree on whether I like green eggs and ham or whatever, but I just don't understand why people, you got to find some common ground on something. And I don't know, Nick. I mean, where do we go? What, you know what I mean?
Life, family, and liberty under God. Constitutional conservatism, yep, all the way, man.
Yep.
God bless you, brother. Have a good one.
I appreciate you, my friend. That, hey, what he said. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Wow. Yeah. A good show, by the way. Thank you for my callers. Thank you for the guests. We got a great show planned for you next week. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.